Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode taking you through this Monday morning. If you have not seen the breaking news yet, no new positive tests for the Titans this morning, so good news on that front. Still on track to play their game tomorrow against Buffalo if all goes well on testing tomorrow. So we'll continue to get to that for the rest of the show as well. But right now, talking some Vols, and to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville. Josh, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Good to have you. And Josh, obviously a disappointing second half for Tennessee after, you know, you get the goal line stand in the first half. You're feeling good about yourself, leading the game at Georgia at halftime. Things fall apart in the second half. Does the way that second half unfolded for Tennessee, does that change the way you view this Tennessee at all heading out of that game against Georgia?
Well, it does in that we've talked a lot about the offensive line, and it did not play well on Saturday. And that was in the first half and the second half, and things obviously just fell apart as the second half went along. That was because of the offensive line performance, the pass protection issues, and the decision-making from Jared Garantano on the interception that he threw. He can't throw that ball. He needs to protect the ball, of course, as well, but that still comes back to protection has to be better. I think it's pretty obvious. If the offensive line doesn't play well, Jared Garantano is going to play worse. And I know that leads to conversation about the quarterback position. I don't think Tennessee has a quarterback on the roster that's going to play well without a good offensive line. So it changes in that we still need to see more from this offensive line for it to prove that it can play at as high of a level as maybe we talked about over the last few weeks. I'll also point out Tennessee doesn't have to play Georgia again, and that's good because there's not another defense in the SEC like it.
Yeah, no doubt. What was most surprising to you when you look specifically at that offensive line, Josh?
That nobody on the offensive line played well. That includes Trey Smith, who I still think is one of the best guards in the country and a first-round pick in the NFL draft, but he had a bad day, and the tackles have an issue. I don't know if Cade Mays should be a guard or tackle. I would probably lean guard if that's the case, but I have concerns about how they'll play a tackle because my thought has been Cade at right tackle and probably Jerome Carvin at guard. But if Cade's at guard, probably looking at Darnell Wright at right tackle. I know he's highly touted. I know he's talented, just like Wanya Morris at left tackle. But is he ready to be a high-level player in the SEC? I don't know that. And Wanya did not have a good day against, again, elite competition, guys off the edge. Tennessee might have a problem there. And pass protection includes running backs. I mean, they were a problem there. So that's not all the offensive line, but the offensive line was the start of it. They couldn't get a push. They couldn't move the line of scrimmage to help Tennessee's running backs. And that's the other part of the conversation is if Tennessee's offense is going to max out its potential, how much time do we talk about Ty Chandler and Eric Gray having success? The offensive line has to help them do that. And I'll say again, you're not going to play Georgia again. So I'd still think that Tennessee's offensive line should be one of the best in the conference. And I think that the offense will be better moving forward. But if an opposing defense has guys with legitimate speed coming at you, then Tennessee might have a problem off the edge there.
Yeah, and so many things, you know, that we didn't get to in terms of asking Jeremy Pruitt for the game. But that's one thing that I found interesting is that when Darnell Wright had his helmet popped off in one of those second half drives, and it was actually Spraggins, a freshman, who came in at right guard. And they moved Mays out to right tackle for one play. So I assumed then maybe Carvin wasn't available. But I agree. I thought that they looked really good with Mays at right tackle. I know it's Missouri versus Georgia, but interesting. Maybe that's part of why that they went Mays right the whole day Saturday?
Yeah, maybe. Daniel Hood is a former Tennessee defensive lineman. Joe, you know, you've talked to Daniel for
yep.
the story you did on The Athletic. And he does Saturday Sports Talk with us on The Animal in Knoxville. And before the Missouri game, Daniel said, I think he's better at guard. I think that's the best spot for him. He did say if they have concerns about pass protection, they're going to need Cade out on the outside. And I think that should be the case. But Cade also didn't handle that well. So he got beaten badly on the outside playing at tackle. So I would still think that he's probably their best option at right tackle, but is that the best for Cade Mays, and is that the best for the offensive line? How does that affect them on the interior? Because, you know, part of Daniel's point was, is I'm essentially just repeating what he said and paraphrasing along the way, but Trey, Brandon Kennedy, Cade Mays makes quite a 1-2-3 on the interior of your offensive line, and I would lean there. But again, if you're worried about protecting for Jarrett, then Wanya Morissette and Darnell Wright is probably your tackle combination. I know they were very highly touted in the 2019 class. And Wanya, I mean, he's their left tackle there. Do they give Jameer Johnson another look as the season goes along? There are a number of things that they can do there, but tight end protection, I think, is not where it was a year ago, and Ty Chandler and Eric Gray to this point have not been very good protecting the quarterback. And, you know, a lot of it is, hey, you need to see what's coming. And in some cases, they did, and then they just got beaten by Georgia's defenders who were coming at them.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh, you go back to the first half, DeAndre Johnson kicked out of the game for a targeting penalty. How big of a loss was that for the Tennessee defense?
Definitely a loss, and what a dumb decision. He obviously didn't hit him hard, but it was blatant. It's right there in front of the official, and he waited to do it. And I can't understand what he was thinking, especially being an experienced player. But Johnson has been one of the biggest bright spots to the start of the season, the way he played in the first two games. And Tennessee, I thought going into the game, really needed to get after Stetson Bennett. You take one of the best pass rushers off the field. They were able to do that at times, but they just weren't nearly as effective. And I still think that's actually a positive coming out of the game, is that the defense overall held its own a lot of the time. And Johnson, Kevon Bennett, Roman Harrison got involved. Saw Morvin Joseph make a play. He's a true freshman on the team. Tyler Barron's playing. I do think Tennessee has a better collection of pass rushers, but you take one out and you're going to feel it. So it's going to take that collective group as this season goes along. But I still think that Tennessee's defense can be one of the best in the SEC, may already be one of the best two or three. I mean, the conference has real issues on that side of the ball. Tennessee needs to clear some things up. Linebackers and coverage need to be either better, or they need to figure something else out there. But pass rush can actually be better, but they've got to be on the field, of course, for that to be the case.
Yeah, that's the thing. It gets lost because of just how the second half completely collapsed on the balls. But I came away from this game feeling better about their defense than I did feel about it going in, Josh. You know, those two fourth down stops, but, you know, toe-to-toe, just, you know, terrific. I thought even without Johnson at times, you could see how much they could bother Bennett when they got in his face. You know, they really affected him. But I feel like they're maybe figuring some things out on that side of the ball, and should have some, you know, better matchups ahead on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. The defensive line is not probably going to be elite based on the individual talent that Tennessee has up front, but you got the stop at the end of the first half, and I still think Zamir White could have maybe gotten in there. I don't think that was a very good run, but as far as the line of scrimmage was concerned, Tennessee held its own right there, and I think the linebackers will improve as the season goes along. And you know, what I just said about the pass rush, I still think holds true. Now, they're going to face better quarterbacks as the season goes along. But Stetson did fine, but in terms of the ability to move the football, Mac Jones in Alabama, I don't really need to explain why that's going to be a problem in 2 weeks. But later on, Kellen Mond and Texas A&M's offense are going to be a problem. Let's see how Auburn does over the course of the season, and obviously Florida at the end of the year is going to be a real challenge for Tennessee's defense. But look around the league. I mean, look at what Tennessee was able to do in at least controlling Missouri's offense, and then how it turns around against LSU. There are other teams, and I know Tennessee fans aren't concerned about other teams, but look at what's going on at LSU and at Florida and a few other schools. They're trying to figure some things out defensively. Tennessee is as well, but Tennessee's in a better starting point, at least early on in this season.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. Hey, Josh, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate it as always.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
It was interesting to watch that game unfold on Saturday, Joe, because a lot of people, obviously, you know, after a game like that happens and it's the second half kind of falls apart like the Vols did there, the attention immediately turns to the quarterback position. And look, I think Garantano made a couple of decisions in that second half that were really bad. Even that second fumble, the scoop and score, it's third and five. You're running a 5 yard slant route. You got to get rid of the ball. Like, there's got to be some clock in your head. And I know the offensive line struggled, and I know that they were just getting torched on that play. And you only had, I counted out, he had 3 seconds. And that's not a ton of time. That's enough time to get rid of the ball on a 5 yard route. And he's got to be available and ready to do that. You would think, as a 5th year senior, you have that clock in your head at this point.
Yeah. I mean, on the question of quarterback, I understand the frustration Tennessee fans have with Garantano. I still don't think it's even close to anyone else being in there. And it's maybe at some point it should be. I mean, we saw last year. I think last year it was like you have to make a change. Yeah. It's still a lot better than that, right? But then you just have a play. The pick is just – Garantano said after the game like he expected a hot read to be there and wasn't there. And if you watch that play over and over again, it had to have been Gray. I think it was Gray. So I think he expected Gray to be quick, and Gray extended his route. But then you don't loft it up.
Yeah, just go down.
Yeah.
Or throw it away.
So, it was a bad half. Obviously, the fumbling is like, don't get your guy smoked like that. But I think that it's going to be Garantano this year. And, if they're going to reach a new level, it's going to have to be with a quarterback who has a higher ceiling. But there's just not that guy ready right now, unless there's something we don't know.
No, and you're hoping maybe Harrison Bailey's that guy moving forward, but it's hard to imagine that's going to be the case at any point this year. And, you look at Maurer, you look at Trout, I think they have a lot of the same issues that Garantano has.
And more
and nowhere
in some
near
ways.
The experience. And yeah. You're just kind of in a place right now where he's the option I think you're going to have to ride with. Some games, as we saw against Missouri, he's going to play really well, and he's going to look good. And then sometimes, like the second half against Georgia, when you are facing some of these better teams, he's a problem. And that's just where Tennessee is right now at the quarterback position. When we come back, we'll get your reaction to the Vols' loss against Georgia. Does that change the way you view this team? Does that change your expectation for the Vols? Let us know, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game.